Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we definitely get into it today. We getting right to it. Kendrick Lamar over the past weekend jumped out of his little hole again. You know how Kendrick do every couple years. You get tired of people talking about they the best, big three. Is it K Dot? Is it Drake or me? You know what Cole said. I may be quoting it wrong, but we here now. We here now. It's more direct than it's ever been in regards to just that shit talking, that essence we miss. And today I ain't here to be politically correct and say, can't we all just get along and shit like that? Because the honest God truth about all this, man, is just that's not what hip hop is. Everybody's not always gonna get along. Specifically when we talking about rap music, like everybody wants to be the man. Everybody wants to be at the top. I'm sorry. That's just what it is right now. So we got to get to it, man. But before we get to it, got a few administrative things that I got to go about just to promote everything. You see the hat, see the sweatshirt, got blank canvas, sweatshirts, T-shirts, whatever it is that you need. It is on blankcanvasmusic.com. Go check it out. That's just another way to support outside of me dropping projects as far as the production and the music goes. While I do appreciate you guys supporting the music and supporting the production side of the house, I also want you to support the podcast, man. Like, I'm bringing artists on here, you know, and I want to talk to these guys. I want you guys to get to know some of these artists, these producers, these engineers, and just kind of think about the mind that creatives are in, you know, specifically on the music side of the house. And we'll also bring some community leaders in here, the coaches, people that are doing like dope things in my community here in the Hampton Roads area, Virginia. So I'll be all up and down this area trying to really tap into my community now that this is home for me. So look forward to doing more of that, more to come. Nothing crazy on the agenda right now in terms of plans and stuff like that, but I'm just manifesting it and telling y'all what the program is going to be with this podcast. But before we get into it, man, I just lightly want to tap into the Diddy situation before we get into the rap stuff. You know, considering Diddy's a hip-hop mogul and just everything you've been hearing up until this point is just kind of jarring and alarming, you know what I mean, from everything that first came out to Cassie to Bodyguard to anybody that has been close to Diddy. Just coming out saying a lot of these things that's been going on is just kind of crazy, man. Everybody knew apparently that Diddy was into these things, but it just seems like he's had a lot of people around him that, for lack of better words, they chose to check over doing what's right and what's humane in regards to getting away from him. So that's kind of odd, man. And then it kind of led to a culmination of, you know, FBI raid yesterday. And you know, of course, people say once the feds come, you know, it's over. They got pretty much what they need to it's a wrap, you know, it's a wrap for Diddy. I don't know that. I don't know with somebody with the amount of money that Diddy has if we can quite frankly say it's a wrap, because it's a lot that we don't know. And this is all speculative, but at being a father, one of the things that I took out of this whole thing, and I'm like, yo, I know y'all thinking like, where am I going with this? Like, the thing I took out of it is I saw both his sons. I don't know if they're his oldest sons, but I know I saw his King Combs, and then I saw his other son, light skin fellow. I forget his name. I'm sorry, but looked like they were in cuffs, you know, while this raid while this raid was going on. And with that said, man, like, I would never want, no matter what type of person I am, what type of father I am, or what I do in my off time, to ever affect my family in this type of way. You know what I mean? We often see it with dudes who hustled on the block, if you happen to be from those type of environments, to where, like, you're taking all these risks for your family and you got to make it. And I understand all that. I really do. But what I don't understand is the fact that at what cost? You know, that's why I never got into a life of crime. You know what I mean? I also had some good people behind me in terms of my family members, my grandfather, grandmothers on both sides of the fence. And then, you know, also my parents as well. You know what I mean? Even growing up in the city. So in New York City in particular. So I would never want that. You know what I mean? I didn't see that as a kid so much. I had some things happen, but I didn't see that as a kid and up into adulthood. But again, his children are adults now, but you never want your family involved in that. And that's one of the things that I took away from it. Like, yo, this shit is wild. And we're seeing they got all type of reports from TMZ. Took a private jet to Antigua or Cape Verde where there's no extradition laws. So a lot to unpack there. Really haven't unpacked it yet myself. I do know that a lot of people that do know Diddy have been quite quiet on this front. And I think they're taking that wait and see approach. Because we do this so often, right? We rush the judgment on people, and I can be funny about it. And sometimes, you know, some of this shit is funny where people be like, they knew what Diddy was about and stuff like that. But I personally always wait and see. I always wait to see what it's going to be. And then I can give my assessment one time if anybody cares. But I never like to be uninformed when I'm making, you know, any type of statements on anything, especially when it comes to things that are of a legal nature like this. Like, so maybe your favorite podcasters, maybe your favorite think pieces or whoever writes these think pieces, maybe they just waiting for that information to spill out. You know what I mean? Because even similar to other artists that's in a bit of hot water, has been for almost 2 years now in terms of just this whole case, is Young Thug. You know what I mean? Like, I still don't know what's going on in this case. And I haven't followed it diligently, but I also, it's impossible to miss if you're a fan of the culture and you see what's going on with the different witnesses that are brought up there. It's like a whole lot of shenanigans. So, you know, with that said, man, I'll reserve my right to kind of just not say nothing on Diddy in terms of just what I think and about him. But, man, this got to be a trying time for his family, the families affected, the people affected. Like, this is just, we're just barely scratching the surface, man. If they're trying to get you on Fed charges, Lord knows what they really have in the tuck. So, man, yeah, that's all I got to say for that. But reason why we are here today, New Future, Metro Boomin, we don't trust you. We don't trust you. From the gate on this album, man, I was really excited about it because personally, I needed a switch up. I needed a switch up, y'all. I've been listening to a lot of lyrical rap, and I just needed a good vibes, body of work, nothing too rappity rap. There's nothing wrong with that side of the house and stuff like that. That's my core fan base. But, you know, the older I get, the more I just want to kind of just vibe to the music. I want to feel, you know, everything around the music, how it was made, the different transitions, you know, just sometimes saying less is more. And I love that Future has bodied that lane. And now that he's back with Metro, I mean, they've done it before countless times, but this time around, you felt it. You felt like they had a point to prove, you know what I mean? So, you know, who these dudes are, you know, when we're talking about Future, Metro Boomin, Kendrick, and we'll get to Kendrick, Cole, and Drake argument and what this possibly is all over. I've been hearing all types of rumors talking about it's possibly because of a woman. And at that level, how could anything be about a woman at that level making that amount of money? But that's just me. That's just cash flow. You know what I'm saying? Like, a woman being at the bane of this beef is crazy. I don't think... On Future or Metro Boomin side, yes, I could think so, that's the issue with Drake, but I don't know what the issue is with Kendrick and Drake. And these two have been sending shots at each other for quite some time. You've probably heard it at this point as far as think pieces or YouTube, whatever you watch if you're super duper into the culture. But, you know, like I said, who these dudes are is not of my concern. You know what my concern is? That these motherfuckers want to compete and that Kendrick came to compete. Cole has already been competing, but he hasn't been saying no names. It's been very, you know, surface level disses, like I'm the best. And if nobody is saying your name, I think that a lot of people are not really going to speak to that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's easy to jump out the window when you feel like, yo, why is this motherfucker talking about he's the best? And now I'm stay with me. I'm talking about Cole. But if he don't say your name, then it don't matter to you. As an artist, that's how I would react. Like, he ain't say my name, so motherfucker must not mean me. He's supposed to feel that way. That's what I would think in my brain. He's supposed to feel that way. I'm better than that nigga, though. Like, that's what I will always think. And I will always think I'm the best person on a song as the rapper. Period. Point blank. That's it. You know what I'm saying? There's a few artists out there that are animals that you respect, and it's a healthy respect. And I think that's the thing between Kendrick and Cole, you know, but there's so many different layers. We'll get into it. So as they set the tone on the first song, and then Young Metro, and then they kept going, I'm like, yo, this trap music, and then there's whatever Metro's doing. I want to, you know, hats off to him in terms of the production. Whatever Metro's doing, I think is trap music elegance. You know what I mean? Like, it's different sounding trap. It sounds lush. It sounds rich. It just, he's doing different type of things. Like, I mean, the Quiet Storm flip that he had. So many, this the Like That song that Kendrick is on with Future, that has been flipped so many times. You know, the E-40 references that Kendrick had in the diss record. Then also, you know, just Future paying homage to Mobb Deep and Prodigy throughout this entire record. You'll see, you know, little snippets of what Prodigy's been saying in various interviews over the course of his career. Rest in peace to P, one of the best to do it, man. Mobb Deep is one of my favorite groups ever, but I love that because both of them being from the South, and a lot of my homies as well, like they're from the South, and a lot of people, man, when this hip hop thing was in its infancy, and I think it still is, they listen to a lot of East Coast music. I don't care who you are, you fucked with some of the East Coast artists, because really at the time, there was a lot of East Coast artists, and that's all you guys grew up listening to. Of course, you had your people locally, but on a grand scale, people that were doing it big were, at the time, the Nas's, the Mobb Deeps, the Jays, the Bigs. I'm talking about from early 90s, you know, all the way up into the late 90s when you saw the South starting to make noise with the Outkasts of the world, the Cash Moneys, the No Limits, even, you know, a lot of the West Coast people. So it's dope to see that coming to fruition. Metro's from the Midwest, St. Louis, Future, you know, Atlanta, and Metro spending his time in Atlanta. It's just kind of a great marriage there that I didn't think I saw coming. So it's not the ordinary, you know, trap sound and shit. This is like a lot of beat switches, a lot of variations to keep the movement moving. And I think that it actually accents what Future does a lot more than people are giving Metro credit for. So this is a phenomenally produced project. And if, like, you know, T.I. got his trap museum, I guess, like, this is an album you would probably put in that trap museum because it just sounds so good. Probably like the last few songs on there were just a little bit of a excess in music for me. But man, I'd probably say about a good 85% of this project, man, I'm rocking with. I haven't played nothing else since it came out. This past Friday, I also, you know, had Schoolboy Q's Blue Lips. That shit had me in the chokehold. So these albums couldn't be any more different. And that's what I like. I like the differences. I like the variations within my rap palette. You know what I mean? I've always listened to anybody and anything. If it sounds good, feels good, I'm listening to it. I don't care what type of bars these guys are spitting, as long as it's not like straight up trash. And I don't think Future really ever spits straight up trash. It's for a certain aesthetic. It's for a certain vibe. And you know, I've been rocking with it for a while. So let's get to the situation at hand. Kendrick Lamar, fuck the big three. It's just big me. What would make Kendrick come to this realization? Why is Kendrick coming out every so couple years with these type of records? Why isn't Kendrick putting these diss records, or verses rather, because you got Control, and now you have this one here on Future's album, Like That. And I always get to thinking, like, why isn't he doing this on a grand scale? Like, why isn't Kendrick just gonna get the diss record ready on his album? That's what I thought about immediately. Like, oh, another one. Although this verse is really dope. But what's dope about this verse is the chess move that Kendrick made, which was putting this type of shit on a back-to-back type beat. Because remember, I want to take y'all back. I'm going to come back to Kendrick, but I'm going to take y'all back to the Drake shit. When he hit me with the back-to-back joint, that shit, you couldn't escape it. That shit was in the clubs. You see what I'm saying? It's in the clubs, and people are singing it. Like, you can't, like, if I'm the rapper that's being this, if I'm Meek at the time, I'm sick. Because now I got to be at the club and they're going to play back to back when I'm in the building. You know what I'm saying? The DJ is going to try to be respectful. But at a certain point, this song has to be played. You know what I mean? So could you imagine how sick he feel? But again, it was one of them records that I don't necessarily think intended to be a club record initially. We're back to back, but it became one. And then that became the cheat code, right? So moving fast forward to Like That, you know, with Kendrick Lamar and Future on here talking they shit, it's just like, to choose that beat was a very, very smart decision with Kendrick, because chicks is literally at the strip club or at the club dissing Drake, and this is Drake's thing. This is Drake's thing, like being in the club, like that's where he's made his bones, you know, with him being such a versatile artist. You know what I mean? But now Kendrick's in the club, and Kendrick can make these kind of records. You know what I'm saying? We haven't seen it too much in his career, but we know that when he hops on shit like Problems, when he hops on Control, when he hops on stuff like this song here, he's capable of being a chameleon and adapting to any situation. So I'm always thinking about those type of things. When I think about the diss record, the timing, the impact, we didn't see this shit happening at all. Like, Future normally does this on albums. He don't even put the features on there. Like, some of the dopest, I mean, he brought like the Avengers on here. You got K-Dot on here. You got Rick Ross on here. Who else you got? You got Travis Scott. You know what I mean? That's just three people right there. Like, do any of these people have issues, you know, with Drake? Did they even know this is the direction that Metro and Future were going in? You know, so many different layers to peel back. And I wonder what has happened with Ross and Drake. What has, and I'm singularly focused on Drake because it, by all accounts, it doesn't seem like anybody has any smoke with J. Cole. The only smoke with J. Cole is just J. Cole calling himself the best, and Kendrick has rightfully called that out. Although I think, you know, like many people have said already, if you've already watched a lot of people covering this, is that I think they say Cole caught a stray, but I don't think he caught a stray. I think it was for both of them. Take it how you want it type of thing. So I was cool with that, you know. But you know, the other thing that I saw a lot of and I thought was kind of crazy, and shout out to my man. First of all, happy birthday to one of my homies and Pod Brothers, Iggy's Loudmouth Podcast. Happy birthday to him. But Iggy posted something recently on his page, and this is in regards to people who saying, man, Kendrick's doing this shit again. He's dissing. Then he gonna go away, not be visible. You know what I mean? And that can account for some things. And I get it. I get what they're saying with that. But allow me to say this. Kendrick does come on other people's shit, says what he has to say, and then he dips back out to do whatever conceptual piece he's going to do or whatever project he's going to work on with next. You know what I mean? But I would say that he's not present in terms of social media letting you guys in and to be that accessible to make himself that accessible to you. But what he's doing is he's dropping fairly often. Look, you got Overly Dedicated, 2010, Section 80, 2011, Good Kid, Mad City, 2012, To Pimp a Butterfly, 2015, Untitled Unmastered, 2016, Damn, 2017, Black Panther soundtrack that he worked on, 2018. And I know y'all may call me out on the Black Panther soundtrack, but if you're an artist and know your name is attached to something and you care about the quality of it, even though he may not be rapping on everything, just producing the arrangement where things are supposed to go, that was the assignment for Kendrick as the curator for the soundtrack. So, you know, I would give him that album. I did look at it with a little side eye, Iggy, you know, for my homie Iggy, but once I had some time to think about it, I'll allow it. So you got Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers in 2022. So this Kendrick drops every 3-5 years thing is not true when you think about it. He just makes his art and goes away. He doesn't choose to bring these diss records on his album, which I would like him to do. I would like him to do a full out diss record and just put the gauntlet down and let it be what it's going to be. But he chooses to do it this way, and it is what it is. But the verse, man, I think the verse was really dope. Again, a club sounding record, being able to get those type of bars off in a club sounding record, I think was genius. I'm not overly enamored with the bars in terms of its potency. I think this was just like a very stiff hook on first impact, if we're talking just strictly fighting, you know what I mean? It's not a whack verse at all in what he said, and I won't go in here to quote everything because you guys have heard it. But man, they gotta respond in kind, and I'm not sure if Drake is gonna respond. Like, Drake just came out with a lot of projects the last 2 years back to back. He's been talking about taking a little bit of a break, but then he went on tour. Then he dropped 6 more songs with Drake when people got to backlashing on him about not rapping enough on the project because it wasn't met with a lot of fanfare. Again, a guest artist stole the show on his album, and J. Cole, you know, so it's kind of like, yo, is Drake going to come back? Is Drake going to just make a random record and put it out there as a Lucy for Kendrick? Or, you know, what type of thing is he going to do? Is he just going to wait it out? And my advice would be, for both him and Cole, wait it out. For Cole specifically, I would say wait it out until the album. Like, now you have people highly anticipating what you're going to say. So I think that's a good thing for me. Well, I don't know what y'all think. Y'all think that Cole should wait all the way to the album? I do. That's the chess move that you need to make. And then also back in the day, I don't remember outside of the mixtape shit, you know, with some artists where cats were responding in 24 hours, you know, a weekend at the latest. But I think when you're dealing with big dogs like this, where guys are, you know, quote unquote, the big three, you got to take your time with it. You got to take your time with it. It definitely needs to be addressed on the next release. If I'm talking about Cole, I don't care if it seems like Cole isn't the main guy that Kendrick is addressing in this verse. You gotta address him. You gotta address him, whether that be a verse, something, you know what I mean? But my opinion, if Cole wants to claim this best guy thing, you gotta stand on it, man. There's no more shooting your shot and hiding your hand. He said he's the best countless times, you know, even on the you know, the original song on Drake's last album where Cole is doing this thing as far as the lead single. He's saying he's the best there. So, well, I don't care if the diss wasn't really heavily aimed at him. When we're talking Kendrick, you're the next person up. You feel you are the best. Cole, talk your shit. Drake, I'm trying to find the right angle and the right time for him to respond. And in what manner is he going to respond? Because right now, I think for the first time, you know, this, something caught him off guard in terms of a diss. You know, this shit was really a gut punch. He's on stage giving himself positive affirmations and statements and shit like that. And if you've ever been to a Drake concert, I've been to one back, you know, a couple years ago. He does these little monologues to where it's kind of like, you know, you think you're sitting in with a motivational speaker mid-concert. But again, that's his thing, to kind of get on to the next song, give himself a break, amp himself up for whatever he's going to do the next 3 to 5 song run. Because what they do out there is pretty difficult in terms of just keeping that energy up and keeping people engaged. So sometimes you got to talk to them. So I get it. But where is the venue? Who's the next person to come out? Is it going to happen on J. Cole's album? Is J. Cole going to return the favor and let Drake have the runway to do his thing? Can that be a possibility? You know what I'm saying? Do they talk it out and just be like, you know what? He had to say something about me, but I'm going to let you. This seems like this is y'all thing. Like, is Cole going to step aside? I don't know, man. I'm just excited about it. I'm excited about the competitive nature of this shit. Like, this is amazing. You know what I'm saying? With that said, where do I stand right now? Where do I stand right now? So I'll tell you guys that my personal, these guys are firmly in the big three, but I think something needs to be said for Mount Rushmore of the guys from the 2010s era. You know what I mean? Because all of them have been doing it for quite some time right now. I believe Drake and Cole were kind of the first ones that we knew about. And then Kendrick came and Future's been doing it behind the scenes and finally kind of got his claim to fame after trying to, you know, just kind of punching his way through finally. And he got on a little bit older. So I think this release really at the end of the day kind of gives me like this. Need to have a Mount Rushmore conversation about the 2010s. And, you know, if you're being unbiased and you just like the music scene and you're overall a fan, like, you would have to put Future in it just based on the impact. Because while Like That is the song that we're talking about and why this has gotten so much attention, the album is fucking good on top of that. It's not just one song. If you listen to this entire project, like I said earlier, Metro's in his bag. Future is in his bag. Future sounds better than ever. I don't care that Future is a little bit older than me and I'm 41. He's still talking that shit. I mean, I enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? I like when people stick to the script and stick to what they do best. Sometimes, and for a select few, you really don't have to truly grow as an artist. You just have to be consistent and continuously find ways to make what you do best shine. And I think that meshes with Metro's production. It's not, you can't go get what Metro did from just anybody else. You can't go get that from these guys that have been doing it a little less time than Metro. Like, I can almost guarantee you some of the other Southern trap producers that heard this, they took notice, and it's because of the production. And I know I'm heavily leaning on the side of Metro, but the soundscapes really make the artists do what they do and go to another level. And I think that Future did that quite well on here. So I can't wait to see what's up next for these guys. It's going to be a fun time, man. Hip hop is competitive. I don't care. You know, at the end of the day, you can't let it get the best of you. But I do love what these guys are doing. And I can't wait to see what happens with it, man. I don't think this is a disagreement or a feeling that's going to lead to anything physical wise, because none of these guys seem to be those type of artists. When we're talking about these four guys, like, they don't be out there on some tough guy shit. So it's going to be about the music and literally who's better. And maybe we find out some more details about guys that we didn't know. You know what I mean? That haymaker that pushed a T through in regards to Drake having a kid that he was trying to hide from the world. At the time, it was news to us. We ain't know Drake had a kid. So Who could pull out all the stops, man? Who could pull out all the stops and just prove who's a doper MC once and for all? I don't need a necessary a rap battle to tell me that, because I already know who it is. I personally prefer out of these four, because again, I said I'm going to do a Mount Rushmore. Future would be 4. You know, he would be at the end of that. And the reason being is because of the type of rap that I like. You know, my shit is real simple, y'all. My shit is real simple. I'm pulling up kind of my criteria because I want it to be accurate about how I view music on a simplistic scale. It's just really rappability, the impact on culture, and your catalog, the music. I'm including mixtapes because I grew up in that era where mixtapes were treated like projects. So I can't just discard that and just be like, the albums. No, the mixtapes, it was what made me love a Future, made me love a Cole, made me love Kendrick. You know what I mean? I talked about Overly Dedicated. That's a project that was like a unsigned album slash mixtape. But again, cats are giving some of their best work on these things, so you got to include it. So that's my area. So again, Future at number 4. When we talking about this Mount Rushmore, at 3, I'm gonna give you Drake. At 2, I'm gonna give you Kendrick, and at 1, Cole. Those are the guys that I enjoyed listening to over the course of their entire career, and that's really where I would rate them all. You know, all 4 of them, all dope artists. You know, the conceptual pieces, absolutely giving that up to Kendrick. The relatability. From the relatability standpoint, being an everyday guy, just out there, blue collar worker, just out there getting it, started one way, ended up another, found his lane, and he's been off to the races ever since. That's J. Cole. Drake has a little bit of everything, is a unicorn, does a lot of things well, ghostwriter thing, you know, rubs me the wrong way, but I don't think that he doesn't write his raps. I just think that the fact that he had got so much help in the past knocks him down levels that to where as a guy that loves lyricism first and foremost, I can't allow him. But God damn it, if that man ain't, he's on the soundtrack to my life, all 4 of these guys in some way, shape or form. So this is really, you know, really getting into the details of it all. But I fuck with Drake's music as well. When he drops, I listen regardless of what it is. So I ain't one of those Drake haters. And, you know, Future, last but not least, the least listened to out of the 4. But man, when he does come with his bag, the Dirty Sprite series, 56 Nights, it's so many dope projects that he has. Evol, like, there's a lot of dope projects that I rock with. And I may have to look at that 3-4 list at some point soon and really look at it, because these guys are really good, man. I can't wait to see what happens. But I digress, man. So that's really, you know, my take on the entire thing. Can't wait for these guys to really... So yeah, that's really my take on it. Y'all let me know. How do y'all think that these guys got to come back? So that's my take on it. Y'all let me know what y'all think. Do y'all think that this response has to happen immediately within a week? Like, where did we start doing that, you know, to where we didn't take time with responses? Because if it sucks, you know, you guys are going to talk about it. So what's the proper response time period, and how should Drake and Cole respond? Because this is directly to them. And last but not least out of all this, Sean, I apologize, man. The freestyle that you dropped under the J Dilla shit, super dope. The flows you use, super dope. Sucks that nobody cares. It sucked that nobody cares, because it was dope. And then the single you dropped, the pew, 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 that hook, Sean, it's not for me, but I do love the sample and I like the verses. So that flew under the radar, that out of all this shit with Sean trying to make his comeback attempt, and it happens again, similar to what we thought Jay was doing with Nas for years. But it is what it is, man. I'm looking forward to Big Sean's album. Seems like he has a lot to prove, just based on that freestyle. Doesn't come out of nowhere, you know, with what he's saying in that freestyle. So y'all go check out Big Sean's freestyle. I think it's on YouTube right now, or you can find it on his Instagram, to where he plays the whole entire thing. I don't think there's actually a audio version of it quite yet, but it is on YouTube, and the full song's on his Instagram. And y'all let me know what y'all think about it, man. Do y'all think that Big Sean is going to shock a lot of people with this project, his next project? I don't know. If he returns to the Detroit 2 Dark Sky Paradise, Dark Sky Paradise type Sean, those are my favorite Seans personally. Like, he to me, at those points, he made the perfect records in terms of matching his wit, his rhyme skill, the beats. That's when I feel like he was in his own, and those are my 3 favorite projects album wise and then that Finally Famous volume 1 through 3, I like all of those as well. So And he's one of my guys, definitely a part of the soundtrack to my life, especially 2010s and beyond. You know what I'm saying? Like, definitely had him in the whip and the rotation on plenty of club nights and rides to different countries when I was overseas doing my thing and shit like that. So yeah, let's see what Big Sean. I don't want to make a mockery out of Big Sean right now, but man, it has to be suck to be him in terms of timing wise. So where are we going from here? A few albums drop. I want to get to R&B albums that you guys should check out, and then one album specifically from the underground that just dropped recently that caught my attention. So you have Sir from TDE with Heavy. It took forever for me to get to this Sir album because I've been waiting for it for quite some time. I think it's been like maybe 5-6 years since Sir dropped. It's been quite some time. So his last project I loved a lot, and I couldn't wait for him to drop again. So still sinking my teeth into, you know, that one right there, pause. And I think I'm saying her name wrong, but Sinead Harnett, The Most, is a 3-track EP. I love her projects. So, you know, she has a different type of tone and vibe to her singing. I love R&B as equally as I love rap music. So definitely want to let y'all know, tap into those. So it's called The Most by Sinead Harnett. And Sir, we're Heavy. So last but certainly not least, my man Akil Ali, Furious Styles, just dropped the Skywalker Chronicles Volume 1 EP. So y'all go check that out. He's a dope rapper. Furious is a dope producer. Trust me, I wouldn't steer y'all wrong. I won't say too much more about that. I'm not doing an album breakdown. Maybe I have these guys on here in the near future to talk about the project, but Akil is moving, man. He got PA Dre beats next up next month in April. So he's working really hard. So we'll try to get him to nail him down to an interview at some point here soon so you guys can kind of get to know him. But definitely one of them spitters to look out for, and Furious Styles as well. So this is episode 9 of the Blank Canvas Show. Wanted to pull up, tap in with y'all, and y'all let me know what y'all think about this whole debacle from Diddy, the Big 3 arguments. Big Sean, where are we going with things, man? What's gonna happen, man? So I don't know, man, but I'm enjoying it, and I'm loving that the joke that this is giving fucking the hip hop community, man, because it's not negative in terms of this Big 3 thing. It's competitive, and I love it. And if you don't like competition, I get why you wouldn't like this shit. I get why you wouldn't like this shit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all want everybody to be kumbaya and shit like that. It's just not like that. Everybody can't like everybody, and everybody want to be the man. So, you know, what better way than to prove it, man? What better way than to prove it? So, episode 9, I'm gone.